We live at a time and a world where of the Avos, Yitzhak Avinu doesn't do too well. Doesn't do as well as Abraham and Yaakov. In fact, if you look at the many, many parsha sheets that are around, if they discuss Yitzhak Avinu as the theme of this week's parsha, and it is Eil told us Yitzhak ben Abraham, they often focus on why Yitzhak wasn't able to recognize that Yaakov was the appropriate son to give the bracha. Yitzhak's passivity is contrasted with the Avraham, who's the symbol of chesed, and with Yaakov Avinu, who successfully deals with Lavan and Esav facing very difficult individuals. However, we know, we say it in our Shemona Esrei, in our Tfilos, Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. And why do we have to mention separately Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov? Because each of the three Avos experienced and relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a unique fashion, and each one is worthy enough that we can mispalo to the Elokei Yitzchak. Similarly, it's Zacharti is Brisi Avraham, Bes Brisi Yitzchak, Bes Brisi Yaakov, Bes Aretz Yizkor. So there's a separate bris with Yitzchak. So what I would like to do this morning is to explain why the qualities of Yitzchak Avinu are roy to be Elokei Yitzchak. And Zachor is Brisi Yitzchak, even though the qualities are somewhat different from the qualities of Avraham and Yaakov. And if we have time, I'd like to add and speak somewhat about Rivka as one of the Imahos, as the balance. Even though the parasha Ela told us is told us Yitzchak, clearly the story in the parasha, and in many respects the heroine of the story in the parasha, is Rivka, who is the one who guides Yaakov and ensures that Yaakov gets the bracha. Ela told us Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham holidus Yitzchak. So there are many interpretations for the duplication. Clearly, if it's Yitzchak ben Avraham, then Avraham holidus Yitzchak. But the Torah is indicating to us, aside from everything else, that the defining characteristic of Yitzchak is that Avraham holidus Yitzchak. That Yitzchak is defined by being a continuation. Yitzchak is defined by being a continuation of Avraham. And we see it throughout the Sedra, which is the only Sedra that really describes Yitzchak's activities, with the exception of a little bit in Chayisara, where clearly he plays a passive role. He's not even involved in the process of selecting a wife. Rivka, who according to Rashi was only 3 years old, is at least asked whether she wants to go in. And we don't even get told that Yitzchak's asked whether he accepts it. Yitzchak seems to be totally passive in the process. And Yitzchak's role in the Akedah, in the end of Vayera, which the Torah sees as an Isoyan of Avraham. Even though we refer to it as Akedah Yitzchak, the Torah focuses it on it being a test of Avraham, not a test of Yitzchak. We know that everything that Yitzchak does when it comes to his digging of the wells, everything is described as redigging those that Avraham his father had done before him. The Torah is very clear to indicate each time that Yitzchak is duplicating the behavior of Avraham. The only exception is that he doesn't go down to Mitzrayim, but that's because he gets a special tzavah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to do so. But on his own, his instinct would have been to follow the pattern of his father Avram. There was a Rav, Avram went to Mitzrayim, so it's a Rav. Yitzchak's going to do the exact same thing. But he has a tzava that he stays in Eretz Yisrael, which is significant, but we'll see in a second. Yes?
Does Yitzchak only reopen the wells that Avram Avinu dug, or does he dig additional wells as well?
It's not clear in the end of the Be'er Shem.
To me, it looked like the Pasuk said it started with
right.
the Be'er.
Okay, good point, but the very good point. We'll see. Actually, before I say this, there's a Rambam we have to study, an interesting Rambam. The Rambam with Hilchas Melachim describes the process in which we go from the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach to the Tayag Mitzvahs that Bnei Yisrael has. And Avram adds the mitzvah of Bris Milah, and Yitzchak adds a mitzvah. Right? He adds a mitzvah of Maestros. It's not 100% clear in the pshat level in the psukim, but that's the Mesorah of Chazal, that Yitzchak adds Maestros. So my whole theory of that, we see he adds his own mitzvah. But here also, it's interesting. Where is Maestros first introduced? By Avraham. Avraham, at the end of the Milchama, in Lech Lecha, the four kings of Avraham fighting against Kedla Omer. So it says that, 1 second. Baitain, let me get it. Just give me a second to quote the pasuk accurately in the relatively small print. Yeah. Vayiten lo maaser mikol, that Avram gives maaser, and that really fits very well in what we were saying, actually, with Rabbi Weiss mentioned, that Yitzchak, when he does initiate, he initiates by taking that which Avram does and expanding upon it. So Avram gave maaser in one particular situation, one context. Yitzchak takes the concept and makes it into an additional mitzvah that you should always give maaser. So even when he is original, he's original only in the sense of expanding that which Avraham does. Find it fascinating, in terms of this, that there are two very interesting psukim. One, in the beginning, early in Vayera, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, why I am going to tell Avraham that I intend to destroy stone. He says, Ki yedativ l'man asher yitzaveh es banav es beso acharav v'shomru derech Hashem la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat. Right? L'man havi Hashem, I want to just read the whole pasuk, it says, asher diber alav. Clearly, what is the quality that an Avraham that's stressed here? Not Avraham, the one who discovers HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his own. The beautiful description in the first parak of Hilchos Mitzvot of the Rambam, of how the world had lost any sense of a divine creator. And Avraham on his own comes to the realization. But it's that Avraham is starting a family and future generations who are going to maintain and continue that which he has discovered, that way of life, the Derech Hashem, Lasot Tzedakah u'Mishpat. So Avraham's greatness is defined not only that what he will do, but he will be the beginning of many generations that will follow the same path. Right, so Avraham already is given that title, so to speak, as being the father of Yitzchak, who's going to continue in the same path. On the other hand, in Parshas Toldos, when a bris is made with Yitzchak, why is when he's told not to go down to Mitzrayim? Why is he given his own bris? It's the only place where we have anything that could be a separate bris for Yitzchak. Why is this all being done to Yitzchak? Ekev asher shoma Avraham b'koli. Vayishmar mishmarti mitzvosai kukosai v'sarosai. So Yitzchak gets the bracha because Avraham, according to Chazal, the way Chazal understood the pasuk, when the Kayim kol haTorah kula before it was given, because Yitzchak is getting a separate bracha because of what Avraham did. Right, and if you put the two together, it fits that it, what is being said is that since Yitzchak is going, Avram gets told about Stam because what he has done is going to be transmitted to the next generation. Yitzchak gets the bracha because of what Avram is transmitting. Because Avram has already, Yishmor Mishmarti Mitzvosai V'chukosai, and Yitzchak will continue it, he gets the bracha. My wife had the opportunity last year of helping out in fixing a translation of some material from the Rav, from the tapes that are going to appear in one of the new volumes that are coming out, Birchas HaShachar. So there, among other things, the Rav mentioned something which has also been mentioned elsewhere from the Rav. The Rav distinguished between the aesthetic and the religious and says that the aesthetic is always looking for something new. In the world of art, the idea is to always be initiate a new perspective, a new way of looking at things. And that's what's considered, you know, a great achievement in art, that one has broken the barriers and created something new. In the world of the religious, it's not being new, it's but to deepen. It's to take the old and to give it deeper meanings. So in that context, Yitzchak, of course, that's the greatness of Yitzchak, because Yitzchak represents taking what Avram initiates and deepening it, giving it greater meaning and continuity. And if we think about Jewish religious life and the role that Mesorah plays in Jewish life, so the key figure, of course, is the second generation. Right? If the second generation continues what the generation that preceded it has created, we have initiated the notion of Mesorah. One person is not a Mesorah yet. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai Mesorah liYoshua. You don't say Mesorah when it comes to Moshe getting the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The concept of Mesorah begins the minute you have Yehoshua. So the whole notion of Mesorah is built on Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the concept Verich of Mesorah. So therefore, in that regard, clearly, Yitzchak is critical to every notion that we have of Jewish life. There's an interesting irony here. And that irony is that we associate, because of recent history, of the Mesorah, the individual who simply continues that which was done in the past, right, with, that's European, that's Golus. Right? That's in Golus, the Jew continued the past. The modern Zionism was going to create a new Jew, not one who simply duplicates the past and is going to be passive, but is going to be active. Without getting into the whole discussion about messianic, what will bring Mashiach, and whether we should wait for something to happen, divine sign, or we should play an active role in the process, which is all part of this. But it's the irony, of course, is that Yitzchak is the one who can't leave Eretz Yisrael. On the contrary, Golos already is Yaakov, where the Jew has to live by his wits to survive in a hostile non-Jewish environment. The way the situation where a Jew can deepen and perfect within the same context is precisely in Eretz Yisrael, right? Which, however, does fit. There's a famous comment of the Nitziv. He says it actually in a few different places in his introduction to the Shi'iltos. He also says in his Parashat Chumash Tamid Dava, where he contrasts Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi. And he says that if you look at the Talmud Bavli and Talmud Yerushalmi, most people don't learn Yerushalmi. If you do, you'll know that when you have difficult Mishnayos, the Bavli will often say, Shuri Mechzer Ba'achitan. Will not take the wording of the Yerushalmi, the Mishnah as we have it, but explain it by adding a word or adding a case, saying it refers to a certain case. And use a very lumdish explanation, while the Yerushalmi will tend to explain it as it is written, right? As it is written. There's a whole theory that if you find where the Bavli will often derive halachos misvara, the Yerushalmi will derive them from psukim. Where the Yerushalmi is much more Mesorah-oriented and the Bavli more Pilpul-oriented. And the Nitziv concludes that you need, that's why we pass them like the Bavli, because the only way Judaism can survive in the complex world is by being with human creativity part of the process.
Lucha
Shnias. Yeah, Lucha Shnias. Rav Kook, by the way, based on the Nitziv, reverses it. And says the Yerushalmi is ultimately better because that's closer to Nevuah and that's closer to the full Mesorah. But in any event, you find at least this notion that the Yerushalmi, Eretz Yisrael, is where you live the life of the Mesorah, and you don't have that much so much pilpul. You go in continuity.
It's also how the Nitziv explains the difference between Bayis Rishon and Bayis
Shnei. Yeah.
Since Bayis Rishon, they were not Ma'amin Harbei Talmidim because it was very much Yechidim who were doing it. People lived basically with Koach HaKorbanos, and that sometimes the Avodah was Avodah Zarah of that sort, and there wasn't so much Lashon Hara. And then, when Yoshiel was Gone, is the Ara, if you look, he has a whole comment right at the beginning of Peshalach, right? He has a big footnote in the Harif of Dabar.
Right.
He talks about that Yoshiel was Gone's. The Ara, he says, Ata Elochem Masaba Kaseif, and he says that was when Yoshiel saw what was going to happen. He says, now they have to be Ma'amin Harbei Talmidim.
Okay. Very good. It all fits because Karbanos, of course, is associated with Yitzchak, who's the oldest name. Right? Yitzchak Avinu is associated with Karbanos and with Tfilah. Right? Where does he meet Rivka? He's alach basuach basada. Right? Because he's Spala. When the beginning, when they don't have any children, if you just take the simple meaning of the psukim, only Yitzchak prays. Not Rivka. All right, the Mefarshim tried to explain that Rivka also prayed as well. Hard to imagine that Rivka didn't pray for a child as well, but Yitzchak is the one who's mispalel according to the Pasuk. Ve'yeter Yitzchak l'Hashem l'nochach ishto ki akorohi ve'aselo Hashem batar Rivka ishto. Right, it's Yitzchak's tefillah in any event that's effective. So Yitzchak fits exactly everything we've been saying up until now. Yitzchak is Karbanos, the elder Tzmima. Yitzchak is Tzvila, Mesorah. It's Tzvila, Karbanos, less stress on the creativity component. It's this balance, which of course is very important. Remember, even though each one of the others is okay, Abraham, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov, in fact, I need Gimel of us, right? Somehow, in order to produce the Klal Yisrael, you need the combination of all three of them, each one having its own value. It's also important because human beings are different, and each one can identify and can relate in terms of the characteristics of one. We saw it so clearly when we talk about how Yitzhak finds a wife, and how Rivka and how Yaakov finds a wife. They're absolute opposites, right? Again,
it's a relationship.
Non-relationship. Right. So Yitzchak is Mesorah. Yitzchak is Tefillah. Yitzchak is a certain purity and a certain sense of continuity. So in that sense, it's understandable why Yitzchak doesn't want to exclude either one of his sons. Right? That he doesn't want to exclude Esav. Right? there's a tremendous machlokas. If you go through the various mefarshim, in terms of what exact bracha Yitzchak wanted to give to Esau, that he wanted to give him the full brachas avrah, because you simply he is the bechor, he deserves the bracha, period. Or it was a bracha of success. After all, if you look at the psukim, birchas avraham are not mentioned in the bracha. Either the bracha that he gives to Yaakov or in the semi-bracha he gives to Esav when he says you only have one bracha to give. It's only later in the parasha that he gives Yaakov birchas avraham. And whether it's simply meant to make the two dependent on each other, to keep each one to keep them together, or that he really intended to do, the Ramban seems to think that he intended to give him the full bracha, because Yitzchak, again, is the one who is continuity. He follows the way the rules are set. The rules are set, Bechor gets Bechora. He doesn't know of the incident that took place before. And you also get the sense that Yitzchak is seen as so holy. This is, Tziv discusses it in last week's Sedra, that the Rivka is in such awe of Yitzchak, she can't talk to him, right? That somehow he is the holy individual. So holy that you don't want to disturb him. Certainly don't want to disturb him with anything as unpleasant as to say, you're being fooled by your older son, that he's not really the tzaddik you think he is. And on the other hand, we know that Chazal say that even though Esav was a Rasha, his kibbutz av was genuine, right? That his feeling for his father, his recognition of the holiness of Yitzchak, is absolutely genuine. So the notion of Yitzchak being a very special, holy person, a live carbon, source of tefillah. Even here, he's mispalel for Rivka Yakara. What do you mean mispalel for Rivka? He didn't have any children either. Right? So why didn't he mispalel for himself as well as for Rivka? So the Meshech Chachma gives a good answer. Meshech Chachma says because he was promised he didn't have children, but there was no promise from Kadosh Baruch that Rivka would have children. He already knew from Avram Avinu that it was possible Avram could have had first Ishmael from Hagar, not from Sarah. So the promise that Avram would have a child didn't guarantee by itself that the child would come from Sarah. So the promise that there would be the Zaracha, that Yitzhak would have Zerah, that he'd have children, didn't guarantee that it would come from Rivka. Yitzhak believed everything Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him. He never questions. It's all consistent pattern of behavior. So therefore, he didn't have to mispalel for himself for having a child, because he had a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have a child. But there is no promise that the child will necessarily come from Rivka. Maybe there will, something will go on, and therefore the child will come from another wife, or Pilech. So we do have, I think we've up till now at least somehow reclaimed Yitzchak. For the Avos, I don't know if it was necessary, but if one lives in the modern world, creativity is what is very much stressed. In fact, I could also see this it's not exact, but certainly it comes a great deal if one has read The Lonely Man of Faith, the Rav, and thinks of Adam 1 and Adam 2, and the imagery of Adam 2, the second description of creation of man. Of man willing to admit defeat to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Adam one is the creative one who's going to conquer the world. And what is the tzivui to Adam in the second story, or famous Adam 2, is the first one is the conqueror, the tivshua, right? You conquer the world. You'll be creative. You build new things. And the second one is what is to preserve, la'avda l'shamra. The second role is to work the garden and to preserve it. Well, that fits very well in the model of Yitzchak, right? The garden is there. It's already created, so to speak, by Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, who he discovers Kadosh Baruch Hu on his own. Avram Avinu, who discovers the mitzvahs on his own? And what is the role that Yitzchak has to play? La'avdo l'shamro. He has to preserve it and work it. He has to deepen it, work within the framework that Avram has created, and he has to, you know, build within the framework and preserve the framework. It fits in very well. And this is a very important part of our concept of Yahadus, is to admit our defeat and with all the importance of creativity. It's creativity within the framework. It's creativity within the halacha, not creativity outside, within the process. You know, we work within the framework of Kadosh Baruch Hu has provided for us, and we acknowledge our limitations. We reach the point where we say we can't do. We have to give in. A very important part of Yahadus is the willingness to admit that we can't have something we want, and there's no way to achieve a certain goal. It's the admission of defeat that's very important, plays a role. Again, the qualities defined by Yitzhak Avinu are critical for our concept of Yahadus. Not to the exclusion of Avram, of course, but it's in combination with. And then, of course, Yaakov plays the ongoing role. I want to spend the last 15 minutes on Rivka. It's appropriate to give a less than Yitzhak, because her presence is it's told us Yitzhak. It's Rivka's there, but she's more reserved. She's there behind. Rivka represents many things that are very important. First of which is Rivka is really the first Baal Tshuva in Jewish history. After all, Rivka, unless you want to claim Avram is a Baal Tshuva, because there was nothing before Avram, but Rivka is a Baal Tshuva because she comes from the background of the family of Psuel and Lavan. In contrast to Yitzchak, of course, who comes from Avram. And her coming from that background actually enables her to do things that Yitzchak can't do. Because it gives her an awareness of the outside world that she's able to recognize things because she's been exposed to inappropriate behavior. She's exposed to love and harama. It's a brother. So if Esav has an element of being a ramai as well, of trying to fool his father, Yitzhak, who's the Ola Tmima, of course is not going to see that, because he's purity. And after Esav is continuation of the blood of Abraham, Sarah, and Yitzhak, and Rivka, it's going to be the same. Rivka, coming from that outside world, brings to it that awareness of the outside world, which enables her not to be fooled, right? It enables her to figure out strategies to how Yaakov can get the bracha. The strategy doesn't come from Yaakov. The strategy comes from Rivka. So it reflects something that we have seen in our times, where the introduction of Balei Tshuva into the religious world has introduced a certain vitality, a certain perspective coming from the outside, that people have a certain understanding of the flaws of the outside world that balances perhaps the naivete of someone who's been only within the system. Yeah.
But at the same time, she's, as he points out, like almost paralyzed.
I know. It's more than one. I'm not. Oh, it's yes. I understand.
It's not just for Esau. You know, he points out that when they went down to Abimelech.
Yeah.
Like,
No. I understand. She plays it in a different way than Sarah does. And I'm not just following. I'm not following slavishly the incident either. I'm pointing out a certain element. You could see her in terms of Baal Tshuva, you can understand her hesitancy of being direct also. How can she say? She doesn't come. She doesn't have the background. It's interesting, though, to give it another twist, because there's always more than one perspective on it. One of the questions that comes up clearly in the early part of the Seder, and it's very critical to the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka, is they don't have children for 20 years, right? Yitzchak is mispalel and God listens to their tefillah. Rivka becomes pregnant. Right? She becomes pregnant by Yisrotitu, Habanim Bikirba, Vatomerim Kein Loma Zeanochi, Vatelech Lidros Esh Hashem. And this pasuk on the surface is very strange. Right? If there are problems, who should she turn to? She turned to Yitzchak. Address Hashem. Who did she go to? Which, you know, the Mepharshim have difficulty. Rashi says, based on Medrash Hashem, right? Who is Misbalel? Who is who was successful to bring the tefillah that she became pregnant? Yitzchak. So now she has a problem and she doesn't turn to her husband. Right? Clearly she doesn't turn to Yitzchak. Whether Vayomer Hashem lo, the Machlokas and Mepharshim, Rashi says, they Shaliach. Others say now that she heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever it is, it's clearly not through Yitzchak. The question is, why not? So if you take the approach of the Netziv, she was in awe of Yitzchak. She would, you know, she wouldn't have asked Yitzchak. I'm going to suggest an alternate way of looking at it. They didn't have a child. That Yitzchak is Mispalo, maybe they're both Mispalo, but clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to the tefillah of Yitzchak to have a child. Right? Now there's complications in the pregnancy, whatever they may be. This is what Yitzchak was Mispalo and HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided. How can Rivka now go to Yitzchak and say, I'm unhappy with the pregnancy that you successfully were Mispalo for me? Find out what went wrong. It's through Yitzchak that came the pregnancy. Clearly, the whole approach of Yitzchak, as we've developed it, is Yitzchak has trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak doesn't question, he doesn't feel a need to innovate. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides, and even more so. What did Yitzchak learn from the Akedah? He learned from the Akedah was that even though at the time it was inexplicable that Avram is being asked to sacrifice him, he trusts. He goes, and sure enough, what occurs? What's supposed to occur? Yitzchak is going to live and Avram is going to have the Zerah and Avram is not going to sacrifice Yitzchak. That if you just trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's supposed to happen is going to happen. And you don't question, it's going to be the right thing. So he was Mispalo for children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered the tefillah. Rivka can't come to him and say, but there's something wrong. What do you mean there's something wrong? Right? Yitzchak represents trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered their tefillah. Clearly, this is what's meant to be. This is appropriate. This is the Zera that they're supposed to have. And it's supposed to come out the way it's destined to be. So Rivka can't go to Yitzchak and say, but I'm not happy with the pregnancy. Right? I need somebody else. I need another source. Yitzchak's perspective is that if this HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides, it's meant to be. And everything follows from that in the Zera. Not only that, on one hand, that he is prepared to give the bracha to Esav, but if it turns out that Yaakov got the bracha, v'gam baruch yiyeh, Yitzchak doesn't question the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. If that's, even though Yitzchak, I certainly intend to give Esav some bracha, and that bracha which he intended to give to Esav was given to Yaakov, v'gam baruch yiyeh. Consistent with the whole way Yitzchak is presented in the Torah, he's mekabel what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. He has faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it turns out the way it's supposed to turn out, that's the way it's meant to be. You don't question it. And if it turns out that the bracha was given to Yaakov, Agam Baruch Hu, that's a simple pshat. That's consistent with the whole personality of Yitzchak. Interestingly, in terms of Rivka, who is to combine the two, that she sees the perspective of the outside, and yet at the same time is in awe of the tzidkus of Yitzchak, is that we know that that Rivka doesn't assert herself directly. It's always done indirectly. Right? It's indirect. In fact, a very interesting place is Esav marries Knanite Hiti women. Right? So the pasuk says, they have Naras Ruach, the Yitzchak, the Rivka. Right? That they caused anguish to both the Yitzchak and to Rivka, with Yitzchak's name being mentioned first. At the end of the Sedra, when Rivka is afraid that Esav is going to plot to try to kill Yaakov, and she realized that Yitzchak will not believe them, right? Even after everything that took place, and Esav is so furious and so angry, obviously Yaakov is going to live, because that's the Savar of Kadosh Baruch. It's not, so Yitzchak doesn't have a problem, because it can't happen, right? Yitzchak is the mammon, it's not going to happen. So what does Rivka do? So she wants Yaakov to leave, right? But she doesn't send him away. What does she say to Tamar Rivka Yitzchak katzi b'chayai b'nei b'nos ches? Im lokeach Yaakov yishum b'nos ches ke'elim b'nos ha'aretz lom lichayim. Knowing fully well that it's as upsetting to Yitzchak as it is to her, that's the pasuk tells us, right? She says, I can't handle it, right? Katzichai, it's terrible, I can't handle it. And, but does she tell Yitzchak what to do? No. She says, I can't handle it. It's a terrible situation. Trusting the fact that Yitzchak will understand on his own. She has learned not to assert, you know, I'm telling you to do the opposite, but she's the Eza Kenegdo. She's the classic, real Eza Kenegdo. Here she's helping by being Kenegdo, right? But by doing it in such a way that he's able to make the decision. And what does Yitzchak respond? V'yikra Yitzchak al Yaakov, v'yivarecho so v'yitzaveir v'yomelo lo zikach isho mibnos knon, kum lech padena aram besa besuil aviyo imecho, v'kach lecho misham isho mibnos lovan achi imecho. It's Rivka way of whole way of functioning is to preserve the greatness of Yitzchak. She's preserving her husband while, of course, she is getting him to move in a direction that he wouldn't have done on his own. Right? So can say only because she comes to him and points it out, then Yitzchak says. And it's interesting to conclude that in that context he gives him the Birchas Avraham, Chozach Itcha, Itocha, Rishdecha, Es Eretz Megurecha, Ashenosan Elokim LaAvraham. He never says that two things. He doesn't say that Hashem gave to me, even though the bris is separate, right? It's Brisi Abraham, it's Brisi Yitzchak. It's a separate Brisi Yitzchak that his descendants will have Eretz Yisrael. He always refers back. Yitzchak always sees himself in the context of being the Ben Abraham, right? He always sees himself as a continuation of Abraham. So the key bracha is the bracha of Abraham. And that's what he's giving. He's giving him Birchas Abraham. He's not giving him his bracha. He's giving him Birchas Abraham. Why does he give it to him here? Because Yaakov here is doing that which Yitzchak never does. And that is he's leaving Eretz Yisrael. Right? The one area where Yitzchak doesn't follow his father is that he is never committed to leave Eretz Yisrael. He's the Ola Tzmima. He always stands in Eretz Yisrael. And that's critical to the whole way he functions. And now he is making a decision to send Yaakov outside of Eretz Yisrael, to contradict that which he has been doing himself the entire life, and realize that he has to give him Birchas Avraham that he will return. If he doesn't give him Birchas Avraham at that point, specifically pointing out that despite the fact that you're leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Haran, that which I didn't do, and that which Avraham didn't have me do, even to find my own wife, but have it done for me, you will have to do it differently. And therefore, you will have to go outside of Eretz Yisrael. So I'm giving you the bracha that you return. That your descendants will return to Eretz Yisrael and accomplish that mission. To conclude, and I only have a minute, and I don't want to take Hashem away from Rabbi Twersky's time. So we see the role that Yitzchak plays as the Ola Tmima, as the deepening, as the continuity, as the concept of Mesora, the role of Tefillah, the role of Karbanos, the Eretz Yisrael aspect. We see the assistance done by Rivka, who brings the awareness of the world, of coming from outside, from being the Balas Tshuva, of being loyal to her husband, but knowing when to influence him indirectly, when to turn to him, and when to look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by herself. And we conclude, of course, with moving in the process of the Midos of Avraham, being okay, Avraham, the Midos of Yitzchak, that we need still the third element, the Midos of Yaakov, who is called by Chazal the Bechir Sheba Avos, and it's why he's the chosen of the Avos. You see it in terms of success, that he somehow finds a way of keeping all his children within the framework, that critical element that Avram obviously doesn't succeed and Yitzhak doesn't succeed, Yaakov does, which goes from the individual who has a path to a Kaddish Baruch Hu to a family, to the beginning of creating of Klal Yisrael. We'll stop here, and then it'll be someone else's responsibility next week to talk about Yaakov. Thank you very much.
Rabbi Tversky will be here in just a second. If I could just ask everyone, before Rabbi Tversky comes...